We'll talk baseball in a second. Some other big wagers that caught your eye. I might even ask you about the Bears, but let's talk golf to start. What's on your mind, Sam?
Phil Mickelson is the sexiest golfer for bettors this week, and this is on the heels of course, nobody betting him a month ago at the PGA Championship. You remember one person bet, I think it was $100. No, it was $1,000 at 300-1 to win the PGA. And wow. He hadn't really played that well in a while. He just turned 50. You know, it's sort of, he's on the 18th hole, figuratively speaking, right? So he wins that major. And heading into this weekend's U.S. Open, which just got underway at Torrey Pines, I talked to multiple bookmakers in Vegas that said, we have written the most tickets on Mickelson, and if Mickelson wins this event, we are cooked.
Well, this is a stupid question, but then what do they do about that? Like, shouldn't they make the odds? Can they make the odds so that they protect themselves? I guess, but if you make it even more outlandish, even more people will bet because they like Phil Mickelson right now. So they should not pay out very much. That's what they should do, Sam. Call him back. Tell him not to pay out very much.
Well, they have slashed the odds to their defense because, as we just said, Mickelson was 300-1, 250-1 last month.
Yeah.
The highest I saw, PointsBet had 80-1 this morning. Now, 80-1 is still a pretty nice price if he does, in fact, win, but 80 is nothing like 300. The thing about the liability is, though, at 300-1 a month ago, they may have taken five bets, six bets. Now they've taken hundreds of bets at 80-1 or 60-1. So while the payout isn't as great, the liability is greater because all of a sudden, hey, Mickelson's a contender. He just won last month. Maybe he'll win again. So the perception outweighs the reality. Even though they've cut the numbers down from 300-1 to 80-1, people still bet him because they can remember him recently winning.
Do you like that bet?
No, I hate the bet. Actually, I made a bet. PointsBet had a bunch of different markets going into the tournament. They've got the head-to-head matchups, golfer A against golfer B. Mm-hmm. What nationality will the winner be? How many hole-in-ones will there be? They also have a make-or-miss-the-cut market. So you can bet on a guy to be in the fold or not, right? And last month, I hate to keep going back to last month, but it's all comparative, right? Mickelson to miss the cut was minus 200. So he was a big favorite to miss the cut. Now he's favored to make the cut. So the pendulum has completely swung. I got plus money on Phil to miss the cut. So I'm actually rooting against Mickelson. As not fun as that is, that's what I did.
Well, it's much more likely he's going to miss the cut than he is going to win the thing. I mean, how often do golfers win two tournaments in a row, two majors in a row? That does not happen very often, and it doesn't happen to Phil Mickelson. There's no way I'm betting on Phil to win this thing again. Not at 80-1, not at 1,000-1.
No, I wouldn't bet it at anything. And I think the crazy part is that, you know, all of the reaction to a major win creates a trickle-down effect in all these different markets. So Mickelson, he was an underdog in every head-to-head at the PGA Championship.
Yeah, sure.
But now you look at some of these markets, it's like, wow, he's the favorite. There's an overcorrection and an over-adjustment to the market. It's like, you know, if a stock is at $20 and you missed it and it's at 60, you're like, wow, I like that stock at 60. Well, you're an idiot because you should have bought it at 20.
The White Sox can lose as many players as they want. I think if La Russa ends up playing third base by the end of the season, they're still going to be atop the American League.
Starting at third base at age 78, Tony La Russa. Every week, man, every week I add more wins than I do losses. You know, I have this on our sheet. I had the record last week. They were 37-24 last Thursday. All they did last week was go 6-1.
Yeah.
So they're good, man. It's a great baseball team. They all like each other, and the pitching staff continues to shine. Every starting pitcher in that rotation has an ERA under 4, and two guys are under 2. Lance Lynn is 151, Carlos Rodon 189. Those guys are 2 and 3, respectively. In the Cy Young markets, Rodon is 701, Lynn's about 750. So 100 makes you either 700 or 750. And I saw this quote, Scotty Merkin from MLB.com wrote this up. he asked Dallas Keuchel about the strength of their pitching staff. And Keuchel said, quote, as a whole, from five starters and eight or nine relievers, it's the best I've ever seen. Now, is it hyperbolic? Maybe a little bit. And, of course, he's in the trenches with these guys. But they pitch and catch the baseball really well, and every guy in that rotation is capable of doing something special.
Mets sure made the Cubs look bad this series, or at least the Mets sure made the Mets look good this series.
Yeah, I still think that regression is coming. You know, I'm going to beat that drum. You know, a three-game losing streak is nothing to panic about. Cubs still in first in that division, 38-30, and they complete that series with the Mets tonight. Hendricks against Stroman. Mets are a slight favorite at home, and the total 7, so not many runs expected. Cubs have been a really good under team this year, 37-27-4 to the under, so you've made money betting on the under with them. But when you look at the leaderboards, King, you look at points bet and go to the National League pennant winner, there's a lot of teams ahead of Chicago. Dodgers, Padres, Mets, Braves, Brewers, Cardinals, Giants, then the Cubs to win the NL at 22-1. So even though they're in first, and even though they played really good baseball through June 17th, the money tells you that they are still the eighth best team in the National League.
Well, I'm not going to get my Red Line World Series if they don't win the pennant, so they got to win the National League, Sam.
That's right. You have 115-1 on the Cubs and the Sox meeting in the World Series.
So those odds have stayed really favorable to the likes of me, although I'm liking the Cubs a little less this week. But, yeah, it's still the Cubs and the White Sox. Good grief. Boy, they're not doing anything to discourage that bet on the American League side. But 115, you said, to 1?
115-1, yeah. So you do the math. You know, you bet $100. You multiply it by 115. We're talking about $11,500.
Yeah, I still like that bet. I still haven't placed that bet, Sam.
Nor will you.
No, I will. I'm going to place the $100 bet on that. And boy, are you going to be...
I don't believe you. I'm going to make you the underdog to place that bet.
Well, what are the odds that William places a bet with those odds? Talk to me about the presidential election for the next presidential election.
Oh, boy. How excited are you for this? I knew this would just brighten up your day. Hooray. Well, I just want to say one word, and I know you'll just go through the roof.
Right.
This is an offshore book. Remember, you can't bet on American politics in the United States. But over the pond, or across the pond, excuse me, one book has Kamala Harris as the favorite to win in 2024. She's plus 350. So 100 wins you 350, pays out 450. It makes sense. Biden is second, 4-1. Donald Trump is third at 7-1.
Yeah, well, those are the major players. I don't even think Biden's going to run a second time. I would guess it would be Kamala Harris and somebody on the Republican side. I don't know that it'll be Donald Trump. Who else you got on the Republican
DeSantis, side? I think Ron DeSantis, I'm not saying that I would vote for him. I'm just saying he seems to be the next big thing for the Republican ticket. He's 12-1. So 100 makes you 1,200. There's a lot of names on here that are just goofy. The Rock is 28-1. Klobuchar is 100-1. Your favorite one. I know you love this. Hillary is 100-1 because people will still bet on Hillary no matter what.
Well, I saw that Paul Ryan is on that list, right?
Yeah, does it? That number seems like it's high at 200-1. I feel like that's not priced correctly.
I don't know
if he's going to win, but he should be a lot lower.
That's not so crazy. I mean, maybe they'll just get good old Milquetoast Paul Ryan and put him back on the ticket. Candace Owens is on the list. AOC is on the list.
What did you call him?
What did I call him? Milquetoast Paul Ryan?
I've never heard that.
Use that. Hey, I got to go. What's your big bet of the week?
Somebody made a $150 bet on Justin Soo to win the U.S. Open, 1,000-1. Were the odds. If he wins, the bettor turns 150 into 150,000. How about that?
We'll talk next week. Thank you, Sam.
See you, bud.
Sam Panionovich.